What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. In a moment, we'll talk about the events that led to Michael Cohen pleading guilty and implicating his former client, Donald Trump.
They seemed intent on filing a rather wide-ranging indictment against him. And from what I understand, his legal team went in and tried to forestall that with a guilty plea.
The Wall Street Journal's Rebecca O'Brien will join us. First, here are some top news headlines. Sources tell the Wall Street Journal that David Pecker, the CEO of the company that publishes the National Enquirer, was granted immunity from federal prosecutors for providing information about Michael Cohen and Donald Trump in the criminal investigation into hush money payments for two women during the 2016 presidential campaign. In exchange for immunity, Mr. Pecker, the CEO of American Media, has met with prosecutors and shared details about payments Mr. Cohen arranged in an effort to silence two women who alleged sexual encounters with Mr. Trump, including Mr. Trump's knowledge of the deals. Prosecutors have indicated that Mr. Pecker won't be criminally charged for his participation in the deals. They've also indicated that Dylan Howard, chief content officer of American Media, won't be charged in the criminal investigation of Mr. Cohen. We'll have more on Mr. Cohen's guilty pleas in a moment with Rebecca O'Brien. President Trump decried the widespread practice of flipping, which entails prosecutors offering lenience to criminal defendants in return for incriminating information about other people. Mr. Trump's comments came in an interview recorded a day after Mr. Cohen, his former longtime lawyer, implicated him in a federal crime in a plea deal. Speaking to Fox News, Mr. Trump also delivered one of his harshest attacks yet on Attorney General Jeff Sessions, questioning his character for recusing himself in the Russia investigation. "What kind of man is this?" the president asked. Mr. Sessions last year surrendered control of the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 election, citing his involvement in the Trump campaign. In response to the president, Mr. Sessions defended his leadership of the Justice Department, saying the DOJ would not be influenced by politics. Kroger plans to eliminate plastic shopping bags from its supermarkets, the latest retailer to address customer backlash against disposable packaging and utensils. Kroger, the largest U.S. grocery chain by stores and sales, said Thursday that it would remove single-use plastic bags from its 63-store QFC chain in the Pacific Northwest next year and would eliminate them from all 2,800 Kroger-owned stores by 2025. The Wall Street Journal says U.S. consumer sentiment is so strong that it's even boosting shares of left-for-dead retailers. Target stock jumped this week after the retailer posted the fastest same-store sales growth in more than a decade. Additionally, the stocks of Macy's, Kohl's, and TJX have all soared this year. While brick-and-mortar retailers still struggle against Amazon.com, many are being helped along by Americans' increased willingness to spend. Retail sales in July rose by 6.4% from a year earlier. Still ahead, the events that led to Michael Cohen's guilty pleas. President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, pleaded guilty to 8 criminal counts this week, 2 of which implicated the president. The plea agreement with federal prosecutors was reached last weekend, and the Wall Street Journal says Mr. Cohen had plenty of reasons to reach a deal. Rebecca O'Brien covers white-collar law enforcement for the Journal, and she's here in our studio. Rebecca, your sources told you that essentially prosecutors in the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office had the goods on Mr. Cohen, right?
Yes, they did. They seemed intent on filing a rather wide-ranging indictment against him as early as this week. And from what I understand, he went in, or his legal team went in, and tried to forestall that with a guilty plea.
And they had things such as bank records, tax filings, loan applications that implicated Mr. Cohen, not only Mr. Cohen in these criminal dealings, but also his wife, and that really put pressure on him?
Yes, they filed joint tax returns. And in addition to the actual records, they had the testimony of a number of people, which together created what I understood was a very robust set of charging instruments at hand.
Rebecca, talk about the investigators' raid on Mr. Cohen's home, office, and hotel room. That took place on April 9th of this year. What prompted the raid and what did they seize?
They were executing a search warrant on his home and office and hotel. And at the same time, which we later reported, it wasn't known at the moment, but They also executed contemporaneous subpoenas against the American Media, Inc., and the Trump Organization, and David Pecker, the CEO of American Media. So it's a big law enforcement activity moment. And what that did was signal that Michael Cohen was under investigation. He'd been under investigation, obviously, for months. And that is a key pivot point in our story today, but also in the investigation, because from there forward, we see the relationship between Michael Cohen and Donald Trump sort of unravel.
Investigators talked to David Pecker, who is the CEO of American Media, which publishes the National Enquirer. He's a friend of Mr. Cohen and also a friend of Mr. Trump. And this pertained to two payments that Mr. Trump allegedly told Mr. Cohen to facilitate to two women.
Correct. What we reported today is that it wasn't just that Michael Cohen stood up in court and under oath said that the president directed him to make these payments or to take steps to deal with these women's stories. What we reported today is that David Pecker was providing backup on that in interviews with prosecutors.
And he has, in a breaking news report, been granted immunity.
Correct. My colleagues Nicole and Lucas reported that just a few minutes ago.
And also Dylan Howard, who is the chief content officer of American Media, would not be charged. Nothing about immunity, but he would not be charged.
Right.
Where does this go from here?
Well, what the plea deal has, he's pleaded guilty. He's set to be sentenced in December. But the plea deal doesn't preclude him from cooperating or being charged with further crimes. My understanding is that from here on forward, he can speak with prosecutors in Manhattan Southern District, with other Justice Department officials, with state officials. So it's another turning point in this long legal saga.
Was another turning point in this whole thing basically the White House stopped paying his legal bills?
Well, you know, I think that was a sign that there was already a breach. I mean, that was the most outward moment. But behind the scenes, we know that basically as soon as the raid took place, there were signs of a rift quietly. Michael Cohen felt a little bit cast aside, and that kind of animosity or frustration played out the way they do. And it didn't get better when the president brought on Rudy Giuliani as a legal counsel. And we saw some of these recriminations and accusations and tweets fly back and forth between the two sides all spring.
What about a recording that became public, I believe, last month that Mr. Cohen secretly made of a conversation that he had with Donald Trump in September 2016?
Right. There was this wild week of news when it was reported that among the recordings seized during that April 9th raid was a recording that Michael Cohen surreptitiously made of a September 2016 conversation between him and the president, or then the candidate, Donald Trump, and in which they discussed buying rights to a story of the former Playboy playmate. You know, that was part of this raid, but the president's legal team waived privilege. Anyway, it came out, and that was this big flurry of news. And from our reporting, we understand that that really accelerated the pace of the investigation, or they understood that they had to do something with this soon.
President Trump has basically said that he didn't know about the payments.
You know, I have to go back and look at all this. I have lost track of what the president and what his legal team have said about various times. Sometimes he says he knew about the payments. Sometimes the most recent iteration, if I'm following the news, which is really hard to do.
He knew about the payments afterwards.
And he did it himself. It wasn't the campaign. And he knew about them afterward. He certainly hasn't said that he directed. That revelation was the first of its kind.
What Mr. Cohen said in court.
Yes, what Mr. Cohen said in court.
Rebecca, another thing that seems to have driven Michael Cohen to come forward with these guilty pleas is his family, that he didn't want this sordid event to be a stain on the family name, particularly since his father was a Holocaust survivor.
Right. I mean, let's first deal with the fact that his wife faced potential exposure on these tax evasion counts. I don't think anyone likes to see their family dragged into the mud, and that obviously was used to some leverage against him, and tax fraud charges also carry a pretty heavy penalty. But what our reporting showed was that, you know, one major moment in this break between Mr. Cohen, we don't know if it was because, you know, why he pleaded guilty, but the moment when he stepped aside from his role as the tenacious supporter of Donald Trump and began to chart his own way, one pivotal moment is a conversation with his father, who is a Polish Holocaust survivor. And his father essentially said to him, "I didn't survive the Holocaust to have my name, the family name, sullied by President Trump." So that seems to have been a big moment. And I can say that, you know, a lot of our readers responded really strongly to that.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rebecca O'Brien. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner from The Wall Street Journal.